because there is something so very positive and life-giving in the whole thought of light. And so we're going to look into the Word of God in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm well aware that someone may feel as if, well, this scripture really isn't a Christmas scripture. How many of you have decided that anything Jesus said is Christmas related? Because here he takes that thought of light and he begins for his disciples during his what is called the Sermon on the Mount, begins to really put flesh on that and show them what is meant as God has said that he would send the light of the Messiah of Jesus into the world. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The world seems to be full of darkness to some. I don't know about you, but 2016 for a lot of people has been a very pessimistic year. How many of you found it exhilarating to be beyond our election period? It's amazing to me generally how people have a perception that things have improved the moment after the election is over and it's been determined. So much darkness, and many people I've known have had difficulties in their personal lives. Many people just have, I think, an increasing awareness of a lack of light in a general sense in our society. It just seems as if there is so much darkness. If you turn your television on, probably it won't take very long until you will begin to feel yourself at times drawn down into a spirit where things seem dark and bleak and heavy and where there is not a lot of joy, not a lot of light. But Jesus told us something I think that was very insightful in talking about the eye being the lamp of the body. Our spiritual eyes determine how we see and how we define the life both within us and around us. We all have, in a sense, spiritual eyes. I didn't realize that I had a problem with night vision until I was 18 years of age. I was out by Lake Michigan in a county park after hours with friends of mine who played football, running through the trees as fast as we could go. We thought that would be a good idea. And the fellows who were with me, the Tibbetts brothers, outstanding athletes, they were weaving in and out and cutting and dodging, and I was doing a very good job of keeping up with them until I ran into the tree I did not see. Doug kind of leaned over me, and he said, how could you not see the tree? I said, I can't explain that. If I'd seen it, I would be able to explain to you why I didn't see it. But since I didn't see it, I have no idea why I didn't see it. I didn't put things together. Years went by, and I gradually began to realize something I'm very much aware of now, which is I don't see well at night. If you ever watch or pass on the highway, Mrs. White and I, at night, there's a very, very very high probability that she will be driving, because she can see at night. I have a difficult time. It distorts our perspective when our spiritual eyes really only comprehend darkness. We can have spiritual blindness that can afflict us. And when we have spiritual blindness, it robs us of some very, very important things. It robs us of our ability to distinguish between right and wrong. I won't take this thought too far, but I have some theories about parenting. Would any of you like to know what any of my theories about parenting are? I will say this, we've got two great sons, so at least a part of it, we've either been profoundly lucky, or we've had some good ideas, or a combination of both, or we had nothing to do with it at all, and they just turned out well in spite of us. But one of my thoughts as a parent was always that right and wrong have to be instilled in someone very early on. A lot of parents have a different idea. They'll take their three-year-old, and maybe there are some three-year-olds here, they may want to close their ears right at this point. They will reason with them. Billy Joe, Jim Bob, was that a good choice? He doesn't know. He's 3 years old. Could we have made a better choice with that? Was it a good choice to steal from your brother and to beat him up and then to lie to me about it? My mom had a simpler parenting theory. Her theory was, no, we're going to do some things that are going to put within you an innate and inherent fear of doing the wrong thing, so that when you get older, you won't have to think about whether it's right or wrong. Your stomach will form up in a knot, and you will think, I don't know why I feel this way, but I don't want to do that. We really are having a conscience instilled. But when we are spiritually blind, we lose our ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. That's part of the problem that I think we see in our society now. Part of the reason that we feel that it's filled with darkness is that there is very little discernment. Spiritual blindness robs us of our ability to recognize the nature of the spirits with which we come in contact. I find myself sometimes sort of amazed. How many of you believe that you are fairly good at discernment and you can tell if a person is telling you the truth or not? Let me see your hands if you think you're pretty good at that. Not all that many. I think I lacked for a while in my life a really well-defined discernment that way. I've found as the years have gone by that God has given me an increasing ability to do something the Bible says we ought to do, which is to try the spirits. Sometimes it's hard to analyze and to reason your way through a situation. But when you have a sense of discernment, you're able to tell whether it's of a good spirit or a bad spirit. And so our society, largely again, has lost its ability to discern. And spiritual blindness robs us of our ability to see the goodness and love in our daily lives. Everything seems dark, everything seems bleak. They tell us that the world is not going well. How many of you have heard that at some point today? I think just tonight I was out in the foyer and something was said about ISIS, and apparently they want to strike again at us, as if there is ever a time that they do not want to strike at us. I think it's not news when they want to strike at us. It would be news if they did not want to strike at us. But the thought can easily be there that every person that you come in contact with is a robber, a thief, a liar, a cheat, someone who will do you wrong. You can have a view of the world that is very, very distorted because of spiritual blindness. I think that when we're spiritually blind, we become full of disappointment. We become full of pessimism. I think sometimes we become full of envy. Because as we look at our lives, if we are spiritually blind, we can't see the good and can't see the blessings. And so we assume that someone else has more of the good things and more of the blessings than we have. And we can be covetous and we can desire this and that, the other thing or experience that a different person has. And we can become full of anger because we feel that life is cheating us and we're not getting what we rightly deserve. That is the state of mankind without God. Disappointment, pessimism, envy, anger. God said in His Word that the light was sent into this great darkness. Our land is like their land was at that time, full of darkness, very little light. But into that came the Son of God, who said, "I am the light of the world." Light illuminates. It makes things obvious, makes things clear. It allows us again to really see and to discern and to get into contact truly with the surroundings in a spiritual sense, an emotional sense, as well as physically. Light is so very necessary to us. Jesus is the light of the world. And so it is Jesus who allows us to distinguish between right and wrong, to recognize the Holy Spirit and be drawn toward love and joy and peace. It's Jesus that allows us to see the world through eyes of gratitude and hope and compassion. The world changed so much when Jesus, the light, came into it. He allows us to see the world through eyes of mercy because He has had mercy for us. And so the question that I would have for you tonight is simply this. So how are you seeing your world? Would you like to ask God to restore your vision tonight and to fill your spiritual eyes with His light? That is, after all, why we're here. We're here not as a part simply of a tradition. We're here to give honor to God for sending His Son and for His Son coming and laying His life down so that we could see the world in a fundamentally different way, so that we can see it through eyes that are giving rather than taking. We can see it through eyes, again, that are compassionate and merciful rather than are harsh and have no mercy. The good things of life are things that have come to us through the work of Jesus Christ and through His truth. And so I would just ask you that you might be in prayer and you might really ponder and meditate tonight as we enter in the candle lighting portion of our service. Now, how many of you, when you came in, received a candle? Do you all have them? I just want to take a moment for those of you who come to these events every year. You may have noticed that this year you have a paper candle holder. There was a simple reason for that. We had plastic ones that had to be washed every year, and the wax still dripped through it. And my feeling was, if the wax might drip on our hands anyway, wouldn't it be good if we paid less to have it drip on our hands? And so you will want to just be aware of that. Your candle won't stay lit very long. But when we light them, I would ask you, take your candle, if you are receiving the flame, and tip it toward the person who is giving the flame so that a lighted candle doesn't have to be tipped. That works out very, very well. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the light. And I thank you that we can not only receive the light that comes from you, but we also can become in some way the light of the world, because we can reflect you. We can be obedient to you. We can fill out, in a sense, the work of God here on this earth that you have called us to, the tasks that you have charged us with. And I just pray that you might inspire our hearts tonight, that we might feel something genuine and something spiritual going on within ourselves as we recognize what it is that we are receiving, that it's more than a small flame, but that it represents the power of God and the truth of God and the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. We thank you for that, Lord.